We are back into the Gospel of Mark for a few weeks before summer begins. And if you were a part of our teaching and preaching community at the beginning of Advent, way back in December, you would have heard us preaching from the Gospel of Mark. And the distinctives of Mark, just in case you have forgotten, are that it's a really swift-moving gospel. The author, who might have been Mark, talks to us in hurried tones, and it's this, I'm just going to give you the facts kind of gospel, not filled with extra fluff. It's kind of intense sometimes. Jesus is always turning the world upside down. It seems like he has this passion and compassion to save, and Mark wants to tell that as quickly as possible. On the back of today's bulletin, you'll see an artist's rendering of what a first century Capernaum house might have looked like. So that's just to help your imagination move along this morning. So imagine all these Jesus seekers gathered in one of those rooms. Maybe it's a 4 meter by 4 meter room. And four friends have brought their suffering companion to the doorway, but the problem is that they can't get through the doorway. There's this wall of humanity, a sweaty, stuffy, clamoring crowd. So these four friends come up with an ingenious idea. We'll scurry up the outer stairwell and lay their friend off to the side on this thick, mud-based, thatched roof, and they'll come up with another plan. Now, just so that you might have in your imagination what a thatched roof might have looked like, as I was reading this week, there's this idea that there might have been timbers along the roof. Now, this is a rock building. Timbers along the roof, or beams, and then they would lay branches, layers and layers of branches on those beams, and then kind of pack it in with mud and grasses and whatever they could find. And so I kind of imagined a bird nest, right? Where it's just really thick and laid into the twigs and jammed in between the different layers of twigs. So imagine these four friends. Maybe a couple have knives, and maybe a couple have sharp-edged stones, and they're just digging and cracking and banging and rustling their way through that roof line. It's dusty. These friends, though, are determined. They're unstoppable. And the crowd below is, of course, annoyed. Can you imagine the dirt and the muck falling into your glorious Sunday morning hairdos? But now imagine this hole. It's 1 meter by 1 meter now, and they can fit their friend who's on this stretcher-like mattress quilt, and they can fit him through the hole. And roofs in these first century houses were probably only 6 or 7 feet high, so this stretcher descends into the room. And these other people in the room, though annoyed, they're not barbarians, so they do reach up and help pull this stretcher-like mattress to the floor. They lay it before the feet of Jesus. And can you imagine how Jesus looked, or how he was wondering or about to respond? We don't really know that, but perhaps you can think of it. I imagine Jesus looking upward through that hole and smiling and saying, "Your faith." And then Jesus looks downwards towards this gaunt man who's probably been carried to and fro for decades and now lays before the feet of this small town preacher. "Son, your sins are forgiven." A religious leader scoffs. Can you imagine that cough? Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Jesus looks at this scoffer and reads into his heart. Blasphemy? What's easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? But so that you might know that the human one, the Son of Man, has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say stand up, take your mat, and go. The lame man slowly, tentatively rises to his feet. He walks. And you can add in your imagination what else he might have done. I would imagine he leaped for joy, shouted, screamed, maybe cried tears of laughter and emancipation. And we read, all were amazed. Many in the crowd cried out, we've never seen anything like this. And I don't suppose many of us have seen anything like this. But it's a fantastic story. And stories like these are scattered throughout the Gospels. And so I hope that we, as followers and believers of Jesus, believe it's true. This marvelous, amazing work that Jesus does. But at the same time, you can see here at First Baptist Church that we have not built a church on lame people healings. And so when I read these stories, I'm always trying to find, well, so what is the good news? Because if we were doing these lame people healings week after week, we would probably have to sell tickets to come to First Baptist Church, right? I think about that mid-90s Toronto Airport Vineyard movement. Can you remember that in the mid-90s? Where hundreds of people were having these miraculous experiences, and that church was just growing and growing and growing, and I was rereading some of the miracles. There were over 300 miracles where people received gold and silver fillings during the healing services at the Airport Vineyard. Do you want to build a church on that? The dentists don't want to. And many of us who, I think, are part of this community week after week say, that can't be it. But somehow we do believe that Jesus is here. And that Jesus wants to meet us. And so if we want to find our place in the story today, I'm going to suggest put yourself as one of the four friends. One who yearns and longs for God's goodness and mercy and tender care, and yes, healing to come. And so I hope we see ourselves as those kind of friends, maybe with a holy impatience, maybe a courageous imagination, on our knees, on our hands, grasping at the edge of a hole that we've dug in a roof, looking into the face of Jesus and seeing him look at us and hearing him say, words of affirmation and faith to us. Maybe pause for just 15 or 20 seconds. As you look into the face of Jesus from that hole in the roof, what does Jesus say to you? Can you hear him speak to you by the presence of his Spirit today? And what might Jesus say? Because I want you to take whatever Jesus is saying to you and maybe use that to bless someone this week. To take that as one of the four friends and take that hope or take that healing word or take that merciful word or phrase and take that to a friend or a neighbor or a stranger this week. Maybe you hear Jesus say, your faith. Or maybe you hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Maybe you hear Jesus say, God is here. I am here. You are not alone. Jesus sees us. And with that image and picture of our Lord in your heart and your mind's eye, let's keep on worshiping together today and making our way to the table of the Lord to receive nourishment, encouragement, and hope today. Believe that Jesus sees our faith. Thanks be to God.